series of sermons. The series is called This, Not That. That's the visual. And about maybe twice a year I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you how impressed I am with the culture here so that the three pastors here, me and Chris and Jake, get together. And we just did that again this last Thursday and plan the sermons for the next half year. This sermon series was planned earlier. But just as a word of explanation, throughout the world, all of the liturgical churches, Lutheran, Episcopal, Catholic, they have pericope series. In other words, they set for every Sunday of the church year, set readings, and the purpose is that over a period of time, making sure that what is preached in all those sermons covers all these points, and that's a good thing. But here at this church, and I'm bragging on this because I didn't create it, but I think it's great that the pastors here have the vision and desire to talk about things that are specifically intended to benefit this church at this time and this place. So our intention for this sermon series is talking about what? Discernment, wisdom, values, and not just anything off the shelf, but in the view of us three pastors, things that will help you and be beneficial. This Sunday, our title is, Can You Believe What Joe Did? Well, what does that tell you? Not very much. I think I came up with it, so I'm apologizing. It really doesn't tell you anything, right? What? I have no idea what you're going to talk about next, David. Well, it's about the Eighth Commandment, or talking about somebody without going to that person directly. And essentially, Matthew 18 is the biblical text for that when it gives us an example of what to do. Just for the fun of it, show of hands, how many of you are familiar with this section of Scripture, Matthew 18? Have you read it or heard of it? Raise your hand tall if you've heard it before. Okay, look around. Most of you, just as I thought. I have another word for this. I feel that I'm in a specialty vocation. Intentional interim pastors, I feel, are different than settled pastors in lots of ways. And one of those would be our training. And to show you what I mean, we have a special word for this. Would you like to know what it is? Yes. How come most of you? No, I'm kidding. The word is triangulation. Have you heard that before? Yeah. So I'm going to illustrate this. Let's pretend that this lectern represents physically a person that I have a conflict with. Here's what happens in triangulation. I have a problem with, let's say, Joe, but I don't go to Joe. I go to my good friend Sam. Why? Because Sam is my friend, and I don't have to confront some. One like this, but it becomes a problem when we don't share our issues directly with that person. So why do I talk to Sam about it instead of directly to Joe? You know why? Because it's easier. That's why. Hey, it's not just Christians who do this. Everybody does it. It's a common problem. So essentially now, I'm going to make two points, and all of this is talking about relationships. And here's the first point I want to make about this. I got a bullet point. It's called not problems, solution. You could say not conflict, peace. Now, I'm calling to mind a sermon from Pastor Jake a few weeks ago when he was talking about conflicts. Do you remember that sermon? He said a really cool thing because he went through Matthew 18 and made a point. So I'm going to go through Matthew 18 with you. And what does it say? It says, hey, if you got a problem with somebody, go to that person, try to work it out. Okay? Now, if that doesn't work, bring some more friends. Okay? And if that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. It's a three-step thing. It's really wise. It's very good. And Jake said in his sermon, this is the point I'm making to you again. The real thing about Matthew 18 is not that it's telling you how to solve a problem. The real thing is describing for you how to create peace. The real goal for us, and I want you to all get this, our goal is not just avoiding conflict or avoiding problem. What we want to establish is harmony, shalom, fellowship. The Old Testament talks about how wonderful it is when people dwell together in harmony. When we have congregational meetings, I've presided over two forums. I'm not the presider today. We're having a voters meeting. I've already explained to people in the meetings, I'll explain this to you. Why do Lutherans or Christians in voters meetings argue and get out of control? And I say there's three reasons. One, it's kind of fun. It's like free therapy. Why not? You can just vent, and who's going to stop you? Church people are nice. So one, there's a reason for it. It feels good. People may not listen to me at home, but by golly, I got all these people that are going, it's fun. People do it because it's fun. But secondly, people do it because there's no consequence. Generally, pastors don't have training in this specialty of conflict resolution or establishing or creating borders. That's why we have these respectful listening guidelines. So it's fun, number two. There's no consequence. But here's the third thing. Took a little trip around. I'm making a third point. The third reason we do this in meetings is we do not understand how wonderful and important it is when we dwell together in harmony. That doesn't mean we won't disagree or have conflict, but how we handle it. I want you to understand just how wonderful, cool, and great it is if we have a community, not just in meetings, one-on-one, not just in church, in your everyday life. Your sister that you argue with, your parents you don't get, whoever that is, how wonderful it is if you can understand the value of shalom in your life. So my point about Matthew 18, I'm summarizing point number one. The goal here is not just avoiding conflict. The real goal is that you and I have the ability to create in our world, your world. I'm talking about you now. You have the ability to create harmony, shalom, peace in your life by the way you relate to others. So, summarizing. It's not about avoiding conflict, it's about creating shalom. Here's the second point. A little deeper, when you think about that for a while, all of this is related to the gospel message. It's related to the concept of the body of Christ. This is a really big church with lots of moving parts, and how we treat each other in a meeting is indicative of what's in our hearts. This is a pretty good church. I like it here. But I'm wanting to teach you something the next level down. And essentially, I'm going to bullet point the message. I believe it's from God's word this way. It's not about me. It's about you. The gospel message invites us to reach out and love and care for others. So let's take another look at this triangulation thing. I have a problem with Joe. I don't talk to Joe. I talk to Sam, remember? And remember I said we do it because it's easier? Why don't I do the more difficult thing? And the answer is, I'm thinking about my world, not Joe's world. I'm concerned about what's easiest and best for me. I'm not really thinking about what's best for my friend. And I've had the experience here where I've had disagreements. I've talked to people, and it seems like it's kind of worked out better when you have that discussion later. Just amazing how that actually works in real life. Extending yourself is a good thing. Why do I think this is an important thing to preach about? Because everywhere I go, I find people who are entirely self-absorbed, and that's not a healthy thing. I just came back from a trip to the Midwest. Before that, I was with intentional interim pastors from across the country. You know that I was a consultant. I've been to hundreds of churches in five time zones. I've just been to lots of churches for lots of decades over the country. You know, would you like to know a group of people that seem unusually self-absorbed? The answer is pastors. Pastors. Think about it. What's our job? Well, I'll tell you what our job is. We're going to explain to you every week what God thinks. That's our job. How could you not be self-absorbed? Your job is to listen while I talk. That's our job. And so pastors sometimes get self-absorbed, including me. And when I meet some pastors, they're so intent about talking. Here's my thought. I wonder if there are people anywhere who wake up early in the morning and wonder, gee, I wonder what David Reinke is thinking this morning. You think there's anybody like that? I don't think so. But you know, the way we talk, I guess we imagine there are people just anxious to know what we think. And I can think of people in other churches, I've had this experience, I'm counseling you, I'm asking you not to be this way. People whose personalities are essentially dump and run. What do I mean? You know what I mean. They come and they talk, and hey, it's intense, and as soon as they're finished, they walk away. What kind of a conversation is that? Well, it might have been therapeutic for them, but it's a little scary to me when people are self-absorbed to an extent that they have no empathy. Lack of empathy is a scary thing. Is it related to Matthew 18 and God's word? Yes, I believe it is. I believe I'm telling you, I'm sharing with you something I really want you to think about. What is your level of empathy? I had another experience earlier in my life when I worked at a child care center for 11 years. Luther Child Center in Everett, Washington, started as Parkland Children's Home, moved to Everett in a college, continued as a residential program for problem children. You know, one clue for problem children is lack of empathy. If you have a little child who's tearing wings off of flies or harming animals, that's a scary thing. Well, this is my experience. I know how you identify those behaviors earlier in life. When you have grown-ups that have no empathy, that doesn't exactly give me comfort either. Does this sound like a law message? Well, maybe it is, but I really want to be beneficial to you. So I think for me to speak frankly with you now about how this is seen by professionals is a good and healthy thing. The answer to that is to have some curiosity. In our relationship with others, I'd like you to ask people how they're doing. Show some curiosity. Ask about the other thing. That's the second level down. It's not just about achieving harmony and peace. It's about thinking in such a way that you're aware of the needs of others. And where does that come from? It comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel in a nutshell says, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a love so amazing, so enormous, so life-changing. There has never been a message in the history of Christianity anything like that. And the world we live in, who determines our culture? Well, the business world. Is there any message of redemption in the business world? No. What about politics? We have a presidential race. People are promising stuff. Is there a message of redemption in the world of politics? No. What about entertainment? Entertainment shapes our life. We like this performer, this song. You know, wow. Where's the message of redemption? No. Only in Christianity. Other world religions don't have it. Religions are man's effort to reach God. You know, if I just am better, God will love me. Christianity is unique. Now, we're not really good all the time at doing those things, so the people who don't like Christianity are like the church, but God calls us to think of you, not me. So the deeper level of understanding Matthew 18, I can't believe what Joe did, the eighth commandment, don't gossip. The bedrock for that is a concern for other people, a willingness to think about other points of view, a willingness to extend ourselves to create peace and shalom. We have that pretty good in our church. This is not a message I'm preaching because I think you're all doing it poorly. I'm wanting this to be preemptive for you. I want you to understand this before things go wrong. This is a precious, important, almost secret revelation from God's word to you today. The gospel of Jesus Christ translates into our lives in such a way that if we understand God's word, his intention for us, we will have shalom in our lives. Even with people we don't like, we can have disagreements and still love and care for other people. So that's the message. That's the value. That's the discernment this morning from God's word to you. The title is this silly title. Like, can you believe what Joe did? It's a reference to not dealing directly. It's a reference to avoidance instead of engagement. So, my prayer for us this morning, for each one of us this morning, is that you will have received in this worship service something precious and valuable and important in your life. The ability to understand how God wants you to think about others. God wants you to take that love that we have received from God that is so powerful and life-changing and share that love with other people in terms of respectful listening, in terms of care and concern, in terms of prayers for each other. So we pray for the gleaners as they serve. We pray for each other. What a blessing. What a joy. What a cool thing it is to have a community where we understand God's word and how it applies. What a blessing. Thank you, God, for calling us here on this morning, sharing your insight with us, and for blessing us with your love and the ability we have to share that with others. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen.